Please turn in your Bible to the book of Esther in the Old Testament. Chapter 9, I'll begin reading verse 23. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? The Jews agreed to continue what they had already begun to do, just what Mordecai had written to them. Indeed, Haman, Hammedatha, and Agagite's son, the enemy of the Jews, had planned to destroy the Jews. He had servants throw pur, that is, the dice, to find the best month and day to trouble greatly and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, his written order was, the wicked plan that Haman made against the Jews should turn back on him instead. So they impaled him and his sons on pointed poles. That is why people call these days Purim, by using the ancient word pur. It all fit with what this letter said, with what they saw happen, and with what they themselves went through. The Jews agreed that they, their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, as well as all non-Jews who became Jews, should always keep these 2 days. They agreed to follow the written rules, and at the proper time, too, every year. So forever, every family, province, and town remembers to keep these days. These days of Purim won't die out among the Jews. They will remember to keep them forever. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Please peer into our hearts, Lord. Show us if there is anything harmful in us. Lead us in your way. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Hi, I'm Christine. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we can worship together. If you reach into your bulletin, there's a GPS, a Girl, Pray, and Study Guide. As you're getting ready for summer vacations, trips to the cabin, I want you to know the GPS is portable. You can take it with you. And I think, in looking back on many of my own family vacations, I think the quiet time might be most essential on those family vacations. So just pause for 5, 10, 15 minutes, catch your breath, get reoriented to God. There's a lot of intense family time during these vacations, and be reminded of how we want to represent Christ to these people that we love. I've been thinking this past week about remembering. I came across an article on super memory. You ever heard of these people that have super memory? There's only 33 people in the world that have been confirmed to have this ability. All of them, when they give an MRI, they have two very enlarged areas of their brain that are communicating in ways that ours are not. I do not have super memory. You can ask my wife and she'll remind you of how little communication is taking place between these two parts of the brain. These people can recall all the events in their life. They can remember the rooms that they were in, the people that were there, the names of those people, the clothes that they were wearing, the food that they ate. They can remember the significant events that took place in the country on those dates. This woman here, Jill Price, she is one of those women. She's a Christian school administrator in Los Angeles. There are three other men in the country that have been identified. One of them lives in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Interesting with all the men, they're all left-handed. They have some things about their brain that seem very similar. The men don't seem to be bothered by this ability to recall anything and everything that's happened in their life, but Jill Price is. She finds it troubling that there are things that people said, there are things that people have done that she would love to just be rid of and get rid of, but she can't. She just remembers those awful events like they were happening right now. And it bothers her. Remembering things is an important part of what Memorial Day is about. Memorial Day started back in 1868, 3 years after the Civil War. The country was still grieving the hundreds of thousands of men and women that died in the Civil War. The wound was very open. People were bitter about the assassination of Lincoln. So the first Memorial Day, which was actually called Decoration Day because families were gathering at their families' grave sites and at veteran grave sites to decorate the graves, to tend to the graves. The first Decoration Day took place at Arlington National Cemetery. If you didn't know, that's built on the plantation of Robert E. Lee. The land was confiscated after the war as punishment for him going, leaving the Union and leading the Confederate Army. No Confederates were welcome or mourned on that first Decoration Day. People gathered to remember the high cost of keeping the Union together and freeing the slaves. That tradition has continued on to this day, and it's incumbent upon every family in our country to have some tradition that they've worked into this weekend, along with the fun family barbecue or maybe the 3-day trip up to the lake, to remember the sacrifice of those men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, the freedom of religion that we're celebrating and exercising right now is in part available to us because of the sacrifice of those people, and they have no voice now. Their voice can only be echoed through our remembrance of them. In the Christian faith, we place great value on remembering certain things, both the victories and the defeats. One of the first memorials that was set up was in Joshua, the fourth chapter, after the Hebrews had been released from their bondage in Egypt and Moses had led them through the desert for 40 years. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. He was allowed to peer into it, but Joshua would be his successor and Joshua would lead them into the promised land. And when they went down to the Jordan River, the river parted so the priests could carry the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan. And on the other side, Joshua had a pile of stones that were stacked together. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." Why? So we can remember what God has done for us. It's important to remember. We're told in the scriptures many different times to remember things. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the commands of the Lord that you may obey them. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And on and on. To remember something is to recall it. Not only to recall the event, but the lessons that are attached to the event, to the verse, to the event, so that you can carry that wisdom with you into the future. So you can be grateful for the sacrifices that others have made and realize you might be called upon to share in those sacrifices at some point for the greater good. The story that I just told you about Esther took place back in the 4th century B.C. We actually know when the Holocaust that Haman had plotted against the Jews was going to take place. It was 474 B.C. The Persian Empire was very large. They had conquered the Babylonian Empire. It's based out of what's modern-day Iran. The Jews, many of them, were left over from the exile, were living in this area, and Haman, who was a top official, hated the Jews and he wanted to exterminate them. So he came up with a plot on a certain day, giving all the people of Persia permission to slaughter the Jews and confiscate their property. It was a desperate situation. They were a very, very small minority of the population. But Mordecai, one of the Jews, found out about this, and he was the person that caused it because he refused to bow to Haman. He went to a woman that was living in the harem of the king. Her name was Esther. She had been an orphan, and she had won some type of beauty contest and ended up in the harem of the king. The king had a queen, and after drinking with his buddies for a week, he had called for the queen to come in so she could show how beautiful she was to all his drunk buddies, and she told him to pound sand, and so he got upset and sent her back to the harem and went looking for another queen, and he ended up choosing Esther. Well, Mordecai went to Esther, who was a Jew, and said, "Your people are going to be wiped out, and don't think that you're going to be safe here in the palace. You need to do something about this." And of course, she was very frightened, and probably the most well-remembered verse out of Esther is when Mordecai says, "For such a time as this, you've been placed in this position of power." And sometimes there are moments in our life that are very difficult and very hard where we're asked to make a stand for something. And it's good to remember verses like this one in Esther, "For such a time as this, you were born. For such a time as this, you were placed in this position to make the stand that God's asking you to make for such a time as this." So Esther got up the courage. She fasted for 3 days, and she decided to have a dinner party, and she invited the king, and she invited Haman to the party. And then at the party, she divulged to the king that a decree had been sent out to kill all the Jews on such and such a date, and that she herself, the queen, was a Jew. And the king was furious and said, "Who did this?" And she went, "That guy, Haman." And the king immediately turned the tables on him and had Haman and his sons put to death. And so in celebration of this, verse 28, "These days should be remembered and observed for every generation, for every family and every province and every city, and these days of Purim should never fail to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of these days die out among their descendants." And so since that time, every year the Jews have had a celebration to remember how God, working through Mordecai and Esther and their bravery and their courage, saved the Jews. And in remembering that story, they're reminded they might also be asked to be brave and courageous for their people. It's important to remember the significant events of life, because it's in remembering that we grow in wisdom. It's in remembering that we grow in gratitude for those who have done so much for us. To remember is to recall. Sometimes we're asked to remember bad things, the difficult things in our life, the things that we don't want to remember. Why? Because there are lessons in that. You remember some of the bad things that have happened in your life, maybe the bad choices that you've made or bad choices of other people. What were the lessons that you learned from that? What were the takeaways? You paid a price for those lessons. Don't lose them. They're important. I'm going to go to the other side of the world to make my point. Kyrgyzstan, which is part of the old Soviet Union, they have an unusual memorial there, Atabeyat. It's actually a memorial to three significant events. All of them were horrible defeats for the people of Kyrgyzstan. That's why I'm pointing to this. One was back in 1916, the Tsar ordered all the men of Kyrgyzstan to join his army, and over 100,000 of them died in a failed effort in the communist revolution. The second was Joseph Stalin, a communist leader in 1937, rounded up 137 Kyrgyzstan leaders, writers, teachers, professors, artists, politicians, and murdered them on top of this hill where this memorial is built. And the third is 2010, when 84 young people were protesting for more freedom. They wanted more democracy, and the government had them murdered. Same place. Why do they want to remember that? Those are terrible memories. They're actually proud of the fact that they've overcome those events and that they're thriving as a people now. And part of the reason that they believe that they're thriving now is because of the lessons of the past. There's an important quote, one that you might want to memorize. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. That's why we remember. Both in a macro sense, but also in an individual and family sense. We want to remember even the bad things and learn from them. They don't have to control our life, but we paid a high price for the lessons that they teach. Utilize them as you move forward in your life. And when we remember the victories of life, like the victory of World War II, we want to remember the sacrifices of people that made that victory possible. Even in the victories, there were people that were paying not a price, the ultimate price. They died when they were 17, 18, 19 years old, so we could enjoy the political, the academic, the religious freedoms that we enjoy today. It is absolutely incumbent on all of us to remember these sacrifices. World War II to our grandchildren is such a distant memory, but very relevant to their life. Pointing out in a globe where the great battles took place, helping them realize that the spread of darkness, of fascism, had covered most of Europe, much of the Pacific, and that a great battle took place in Normandy, France, called D-Day, when the Allies pooled all their resources and they fought to get a beachhead on occupied Europe. Just a toehold, because they knew if they could get a toehold, they could move inward. And sometimes when you're talking about things like this, showing maps, trying to describe the events, it isn't as impactful as just listening to the testimony of one person that was there and how that experience combined with their faith has impacted them their entire life. Would you give your attention to the screen?
When I go back to the beaches at Normandy, I look at the beach and I see it as a beautiful beach, and it's calm. When we got ready to make the landings in Normandy, we came in on Omaha Beach, and it was real mess. We hit a sandbar, so we went into water up to our necks, and so we had to wade ashore in that. Then the first thing the guys wanted to do was lay down on the beach, and I told them that they couldn't lay down on this beach. We had to get out of there immediately, that we had to get across the beach or we'd all get killed. The best thing I ever did was to get those 12 men off the beach without a casualty. And I can still remember that, and I can still remember seeing all these bodies on the beach. I can see all of that just as plain as day. I prayed a lot. My mother always prayed for us, and every letter we got, she's always had her prayer, usually at the end of the letters, or some praise thing, you know, that she was praying for us, and she did a lot of praying for all of us. She had three boys in the war. And then, of course, when I go up to Colville Cemetery, I can remember so many people that gave their lives there on the beaches and in Normandy itself. You look at that and you just can't believe how many lives were sacrificed. It's hard to see so many people die and you have made it yourself. When I go back to that cemetery, it's like part of my life is there. Because there's so many of my friends that are buried there. I go because I want people to remember, and I think that we should remember these people who made these supreme sacrifice for us here.
Part of our worship service always contains a moment of remembrance. I don't know if you put two and two together. We're told in the scriptures, do this in remembrance of me. In that text, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we're told that as we break the bread, as we offer the cup, we remember a magnificent defeat that took place for our sake. Frederick Buechner calls it that, the magnificent defeat. That God was willing to come in human flesh, to live, to teach, to love amongst us, and then die as the ultimate Lamb of God for the sins of the world. And so every time the church gathers, every week we remember that moment. That hill outside of Jerusalem, when God was willing to suffer a defeat so that we might experience a magnificent victory. This is where we remember our sin was forgiven. This is where we remember that tyranny and evil were defeated for our sake. This is where we remember the hope that we have, not just for today, but the eternal hope that we have when we believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior.